to camp. But I'm excited, you know, to continue in our Holy Spirit series. And this isn't a typical teaching of the Holy Spirit. God kind of guided me in a little bit different direction than I thought I was going to talk about. And so, which is always good, right? It's always good when God leads. And so last week we talked about the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit in our life. And we said God's presence doesn't show up without a purpose. And I believe that because anytime God's presence is here, the Bible tells us that in His presence, you know, that's where freedom is found. You know, that's where our victory is found. That's where joy is found. That's where peace is found. And when the presence of God shows up, those things are available to us. And so God's presence doesn't show up without a purpose. And I believe that as we are conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we will allow Him to work in us, He will. And so we talked about that last week, you know, the different ways that God is present in our life and even our approach to God and how to approach God and allow His presence in our lives. And so if you missed last week, I don't have it on the website yet, so don't go look for it. We'll get those things up. Summer's always tough on keeping all that stuff up to date, but we'll get it up there. And so today I want to talk to you about the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit. And you know, as we read through the Bible, I love reading the Old Testament and seeing, you know, how God moved in the lives of the people and moving into the New Testament and seeing, you know, the life of Jesus and into the early church and in the teachings of Paul and the other apostles. You know, just seeing how God moved in people's lives. And another way we could say this is a lot of people use the term revival. The move of God, because anywhere God comes, anywhere the presence of God shows up, he's an agent of change. And so when God begins to move, I believe that things will begin to change in our lives. And so I kind of want to talk to you about revival today. And there's some misconceptions about this idea of revival. Nowadays, I think that we have this idea that we can schedule a revival. We bring in a special speaker, and we say, "Everybody, come! We're having revival," and which that's a good thing. I enjoy, you know, that churches do that, but I think we're mislabeling that. It's not necessarily revival that we're having. We're just having special meetings, and we're praying for revival. We're praying for God to come and to move in our lives. See, we don't schedule the move of God. God is moving. All right, and we got to learn to hook up with the move of God when it's there. And so, you know, you can't schedule a revival, but we've got to jump on board when it happens. It was fun because I got a chance to do some study and some research, and I studied the great American revivals throughout the American history, and it's a really cool study if you ever get a chance. To study in the move of God in the past. And I mean, we could have gone way back and looked, but I just kind of wanted to look in America. And so there's been five big revivals that's happened in America. It kind of started before we actually became a country, and back in 1730s. It was called the First Great Awakening. And what's interesting here is that you have people like Jonathan Edwards with his sermon, "The Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." Has anybody ever heard of that or read through that? You know, that's one of those great revival sermons. And it said that he wasn't actually a very dynamic speaker, and that he sat there and he read this sermon to the people. It was a manuscript sermon, and he sat there and read it. And as he did, the Spirit of God moved, and people began to repent, and God began to move in their lives. And that actually happened towards the end of the revival of the time. But you had people like John Wesley and Charles Wesley over in England. There was a revival going on over there, and we know John Wesley is was the beginning of the Methodist movement over there, and Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns during this time. You had people like George Whitfield. He was a preacher down in Savannah, Georgia, and he began to travel and to speak, and he actually had an orphanage there, and he traveled up the East Coast. And revival began to break out in some of his traveling meetings. And it's interesting to see that just God, you know, begins to move. And I wish we could pinpoint a thing that we could make the Spirit of God move and we could start a revival, you know, based on us, but it's always based on Him. And as we get into this, you'll see some things here. And so that was 1730 to 1755 was the first great awakening, and they were preaching repentance. Repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. You know, John the Baptist in the wilderness. And then we come to the second great awakening, which happened in about 1820 to the 1850s. And a man named Charles Finney came on the scene, and he was doing these traveling meetings, and revival was breaking out, and he coined this thing called the crying bench. It was something at the front of the service, and as people were ready to repent and give their lives to God, they would come up to the crying benches. We call these altars these days. That's where that concept started back in the 1800s with Charles Finney, and people would come to the front, and they would cry, and they would repent, and they were seeking God during those times. And you know, his big message is that, you know, the gospel is for everyone and anyone to come. All are welcome to come. And as he was preaching this message, they were coming by the thousands and getting saved. And from the second great awakening, we see stuff like the anti-slavery movement, the Underground Railroad, lots of these kind of things were started. Salvation Army, YMCA, women's rights movements all began out of the second great awakening. It's interesting to see that as we compare history of revivals and compare American history, how a lot of things coincide. How, like, there was a great awakening, all of a sudden we're thinking, okay, we need to free the slaves, we need to give women's rights, and we begin to think in a way that is different than the status quo. And so a lot of things came out of the second great awakening. The third great awakening, they were really, you know, as they were naming these, they were really creative with them. So as the third great awakening happened in 1875 to 1885, and this was right after the Chicago fire that devastated Chicago, and right after the Civil War, there was another great awakening that happened. And D.L. Moody came onto the scene. A lot of y'all have heard D.L. Moody, heard that name. And you know, there's lots of things that he started in his lifetime coming out of this. But his message was, Jesus wants you just the way you are. Come as you are and get saved, and then God will change your life. He says, come to Him now because He's coming back soon. And we see the third great awakening. And then there's another one in 1906 to 1950 called the Azusa Street Revival. This happened in L.A., of all places, right? L.A., a man named William Seymour began to preach, and God began to move in those times. And out of this revival come the Pentecostal movement and an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. And we see that. Then we come into the 20th century in 1950. Right on the tail end of that 1910 into the 70s, we see people like Billy Sunday, who was a professional baseball player that turned into a preacher that began to do revivals. And then we see Billy Graham come on the scene and the millions of people that got saved under his ministry. And it's interesting, as we look through history, we see that God is up to something. Amen? God is up to something. He is doing something. And as I look at these dates, we see 1730, we see 1820, 1875, 1906, 1910. I think we're about due for another great awakening in America. Amen? I believe we're on the cusp of something big. And here's the thing, as God moves, are we going to join in with Him? See, the thing is, a lot of these revivals didn't start in church. They started because of some people got together and started praying. And in fact, one of my favorite things is I came across studying. It happened in August of 1806 in a little town of Williamstown, Massachusetts, on a college campus. These college students got together And they were beginning to pray. And back then, it wasn't on college campuses. You didn't have a lot of Christianity going on. You didn't have, like, you know, the Baptist collegiate ministries and all the things that we have now. And in fact, back then, there was a lot of people that if you stood up and said that you're a Christian, that you would get beat up because of it. And so these five college students began to meet off campus in this field across from the university that they were going to. And they began to talk and they began to pray together. And so one day in August of 1806, I'm making sure I get that date right. Yeah, August of 1806, five people, Williams College, Samuel Mills, James Richards, Francis Robbins, Harvey Loomis, and Byram Green, they gathered in a field to discuss the spiritual needs of those living in the Asian countries, over in China and over that area. And as they were doing this thunderstorm came through. And they were right on the banks of a river, and so like this big thunderstorm came through, so they're like, we need to get away from the river just in case it floods. And so they take off running. But it just started raining so hard, and they made it to a haystack to where they stopped there and kind of took shelter from the rain. And while they were there at the haystack, they began to pray. And something happened in that moment that was huge. And in fact, it was so huge, it's still affecting our church today. It's affecting Believers Community Church today. Something that happened back in August of 1806. They begin to pray, and God began to stir in their hearts. And as they were praying and discussing, they began to talk about foreign missions. At this point, nobody was doing any kind of foreign missions. It was not a concept that was in the church of the time. But as they began to pray, God put it on their hearts, the people in Asia. And Samuel Mills looked at them, and he said this. He said, "We can do this if we will." That's a statement of faith right there. We can do this if we will. See, lots of times we like to say, well, if we will try to do something, maybe God will move. No, he said, if we do this, we can do this if we will. And in that moment, something happened. God began to stir something up that actually began the modern-day missionary movement out of America. And you know, they were meeting there twice a week to discuss theology and pray together. And so as we see this, this is called the Haystack Prayer Meetings. Has anybody heard of the Haystack Prayer Meetings before? It's a really cool study in what they were doing there that day. But they called that the Haystack Prayer Meetings, and it launched the modern mission movement. Within a few years, the American Board of Commissioners of Foreign Missions was established, and it sent its first Americans missionaries into Asia after that. And so that began out of that. And Samuel Mills, he was one of the greatest influencers of this. He played a role in founding the American Bible Society and the United Foreign Missions Society. See, this was just some ordinary college students getting together and praying and talking together. They were discussing theology. But see, God had a bigger thing he wanted to do. See, as we begin to look at revivals across the years, most of it didn't start because some great preacher stood up and started to preach. It's because some people got together and started praying. See, revival begins with prayer. See, if you want revival in your life, it's going to start with prayer. And as I looked across these, I saw several key things that happened in each of these. And it's interesting because, like I said, the Spirit of God doesn't move without purpose. See, the Spirit of God doesn't move so that we can have a feel-good moment. He doesn't move just so that we can feel good about ourselves or we can have that peace for a moment. But He's looking for something bigger than just you feeling okay. He's looking to change your life. The reason the Spirit of God moves is to bring change in an area. In each of these revivals, different things happened throughout the history of America. And we can go back and, like I said, and compare American history to this, and we can see things happening. Most of the time, a revival comes off the back end of a tragedy, whether it be the Civil War, whether it be the Great Fire in Chicago, different wars happening. See, God wants to do something in your life. Are you willing to let Him do it? Are you willing to have your own personal revival in your life? See, if you're waiting for some great preacher to stand up and move your heart and do something, then you might be waiting all your life. See, revival doesn't happen because someone preaches a great message. It happens because of you. See, revival starts with the one. It starts with the few, and then it begins to grow from there. As people begin to see the passion that people have for God, and they begin to see what God is doing in their lives, and people begin to join in. See, the Haystack prayer meeting started with 5 people. And as they began to continue to pray and talk about what God's laid on their heart, people began to join in. And they had this thing called the Brethren, is what they called this group of people that began to have a heart for missions. And the reason I say what started back in 1806 is affecting our church today is because we're still doing foreign missions. And it all started from Samuel Mills with this statement, "We can do this if we will." Are we going to have that same heart? See, I think lots of times we seek the presence of God in our life, and because, you know, we have issues, we have problems that we're dealing with, and we want God to come in and change those things. And revival starts right there, God working in your life. But here's the thing. The move of God isn't meant just for you. It's meant for you to share that. And see, as you begin to share what God's doing in your life, and you begin to let other people see the change that's going on in your life, it begins to affect the people around you. And as they begin to seek God and pray for God to do a work in their life, God begins to move. And it begins to grow. And it begins to grow until there's a move of God that's happening. See, as I was doing research on this, I heard a guy say this. And they were talking about Samuel Mills because, you know, a lot of people think, well, Samuel Mills, he must have been one of those very charismatic people to be able to start, you know, the foreign missions. But they found a diary from Samuel Mills' roommate in college. How many of y'all have ever had roommates? You know what I'm saying? You know, they always have the best thing to say about you, right? No, but he began to write in his, he was writing in his journal, and he said he's kind of an awkward guy. You know, he has a squeaky voice. You know, he's just, you know. And so Samuel Mills wasn't like the charismatic leader, but he was a man who was seeking after God. And he was willing to pray and be obedient to what God told him to do. See, God's not waiting for extraordinary humans that He may use. He's looking for an ordinary person willing to engage with an extraordinary God. See, I think a lot of us fall in this thing to where it's like, well, I'm not really that, I'm not anything. You know, I'm not a leader. God's not looking for that. He wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. See, we bring the ordinary, He brings the extra. Let Him bring the extra. And so what's the key to revival? What is it that can spark that? Not only in your own life, but in our church, in our community. What are the things that we look for? And as I was studying through the different great revivals of America, 3 things was part of every single one of them. 3 things. The first one is repentance. Repentance. Man, we love talking about repentance, right? What is repentance? It's not saying I'm sorry. But it's recognizing that there's something wrong in your life, something that's going against God. And you say, you recognize that and say, God, forgive me of this. And then you turn and you quit doing it. You go the other direction. You begin to do something else. See, I think lots of times we spend all of our time fighting against sin that we forget to seek after God. See, God never expects us to be perfect. He knows that we're flawed human beings. He knows that we're going to mess up. But if we focus, if we keep our focus on sin, not sinning, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, then that's all that we're going to think about. But if we turn our back on sin, repent, and begin to seek after God, we're still going to mess up, but you know what? Our focus is on God. Our focus is on what's ahead, on the race that Christ has placed before us. And I believe as we begin to focus on that and we're seeking after God and we have true repentance of turning away from our sin and seeking after God, then God has an open door into your life. See, repentance is just the first step. It's the first thing that we do. See, a lot of people want to skip over repentance because that's the tough stuff, right? It's like, well, God will forgive me of that. That's no big deal. You know, we have our little pet sins that we like to keep around because they make us feel good. They bring some comfort into our lives, but it's holding us back from where God's trying to take us. And so we got to learn to repent. The second thing that I see in every revival is the aspect of prayer. Prayer, seeking after God, pouring your heart out to Him. The Haystack prayer meetings, it was people getting together and praying. See, I think we've lost the idea of how powerful prayer really is. See, prayer is us talking to the Almighty God, to the Creator of everyone, the one that has everything at His disposal. See, we the devil wants us to get to where we just kind of pray over our meals and pray a little prayer before we go to bed. But see, we need to get away from that and get into a place to where, man, we are willing to set everything aside and just dwell in the presence of God and pour out our hearts to Him. Begin to pray for people. See, how many times do we just pray about our stuff? We're always praying, God, I need help with this. God, I need help with this. God, help. You know, you're praying for family members. You might pray for someone who's sick. But how often do we really begin to pray? Just dive into prayer and begin to pray for our enemies. Begin to pray for our church. Begin to pray over our kids and pray over our marriage and just really pray. Really dive in there and do it. See, I see this in my life as well. Those times to where I purposely set aside a time for prayer on a consistent basis, that God is able to step into my life and get my attention and begin to really speak to me. I remember those times when God first called me into ministry. I was spending a lot of time in prayer and in His Word, and I was really focusing deep in on Him, and He was able to come in and deposit some things into my life that's being played out today in my life. But I don't think if I didn't spend that time in prayer back then, the things aren't going to be playing out today. I think we can all look back in our lives and times where we've really spent time in prayer about something or something, and we see God's move in our life and God changes those things and it gets us to where we are at the place today. But it seems like once we get there, we kind of sit down in the chair and we quit. Like, okay, I made it. The move of God didn't stop right there. He's still going. There's still other things that He needs for you in your life. See, He just doesn't want to fix your problems so your problems will be fixed. He wants to fix your problems so He can use you in the future. Because He's got things for you to do. He's got people for you to reach. But if we're still stuck in over here in our sin, spinning our wheels, then we're never going to reach the place that He needs. See, we need revival in our own lives. It begins with repentance. It continues with prayer. But it doesn't stop there. It goes further. I believe as you begin to pray and as you're seeking God, I believe that He's going to be talking to you. He's going to be revealing some things to you. He's going to be giving you purpose. He's going to be giving you insight on some things. The next step after that is obedience. Let me tell you something. When God shows up and He tells you your purpose in life, it's going to scare you. I'm sure as they were praying at the haystack that day, what do you mean foreign missions? It's 1806. They didn't have airplanes back then. They had boats. If you're going to go to China, you're going to jump in a boat and be there for like a month. It wasn't just like, hey, we're going to hop a flight. We'll be there in 24 hours. But it's one of those things that, you know, I'm sure when they were praying about those people in Asia, you know, when they were, you know, what are their needs over there? God, you know, send some people over there, you know, to minister to those people. Then He's like, hey, that's you. You know, sometimes you're the answer to your own prayer. It's always fun when that happens, right? God, send somebody. Well, I'm sending you. So get ready, buddy, because you're about to go. And so we have to learn to be obedient to the voice of God when He begins to speak into our lives. Are you willing, when you have to step out of your comfort zone, when you're not able to do it yourself, are you willing to trust God, take those steps of faith when He calls you to do this thing? And you're thinking, I can't do that. And He said, I know, but my Spirit is going with you. And so you can do it. See, when Jesus sent out the 72, they couldn't heal people, could they? They didn't have it in the power, in their own power to heal people, to cast out demons, to do the work of the ministry, did they? No. But He said, go. And they said, okay, we'll go. We're going to be crazy enough to trust you, Jesus. And so as they went, they began to pray for the sick, and people got healed, and they were casting out demons, and they came back, and they were so excited. They're like, Jesus, you won't believe it. Even the demons were subject to us in your name. Are you willing to be able to take that step? To when God calls you to do this thing and you're just like, are you serious? Are you kidding me right now? I can't do that. See, we bring the ordinary, God brings the extra. Allow God to bring the extra in your life. It begins with repentance. Then it comes a time of prayer, of seeking God, of pouring out our hearts and our lives to Him. And then once He begins to speak to us, you got to be willing to be obedient. So that's what I love going on this mission trip to Honduras, is because as people are like coming, like I feel like I'm supposed to go, but they always have the but in there. I feel like God's calling me to go, but that's a lot of money. But I don't know if I have vacation time. But what about my kids? But what about this? And I'm just like, are you going to be obedient? Because that's our job, is to be obedient. And it's funny that how every time someone comes up and tells me that, and they're obedient, that God supplies. That they go down to Honduras, and God uses them in a way that they never expected. And lives were changed because of this. See, this is what the move of God does in our life. The move of God brings change. But we're so scared of change, we want to stay back here in our sin where it's comfortable. I know I've been there. I get stuck there sometimes still. Are you willing to allow God to bring revival to your life? See, this is what revival is. Revival is an improvement in the condition or the strength of something. Are you ready for the condition and the strength of your life to be different? Are you ready for that improvement in your life? Do you want things to be better? You need revival. You need the move of God in your life. And it comes through repentance. It comes through prayer. It comes through obedience. See, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we probably all heard this verse many times in our life. But it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. See, this was a promise to Israel. in one of those times where they were worshiping other gods and they were backslid and they were doing all of this other stuff. And see, this is the heart of God. He wants to do this. He wants to do this. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to heal our land. But are we willing to do the work on the front end? See, we all pray for revival. We all want God's move in our life. We all want Him to do something in our life. But are we willing to put in the work? Well, the grace of God is free, right? Yeah, your salvation is free. But God doesn't want to leave you at the foot of the cross. He's got a plan for your life. The foot of the cross is great. We need to go back there time and time and time and time again. But you know what? We need to get up and we need to do something. We need to get active. We need to be seeking God. We need to be praying. We need to repent at the cross and then let's get going. Are you ready for revival in your life? Are you ready? If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He said, if. That's dependent on our action, doesn't it? Salvation is free. But if you want revival in your life, you're going to have to do some work. See, I'm not saying that we're going to start a move of God that's going to spread across this country. But you know what? If we repent and pray and seek God and be obedient, God can begin a revival in your life. He can begin a revival in your family. He can begin a revival in your small group. He can begin a revival in this church, in this community. It can grow. Are we willing? Are we willing? A lot of times, you know, we see these people having revivals and stuff, and we see some moves of God, so to say, moves of God. And how do we know if it's really a move of God? How do we know it's not just us doing something, or how do we know if it's a true move of God in our life? There's one thing that we can look at. Did anything change? See, we can come here and meet every day of the week. We could sing songs, we could worship, we can preach, we can have altar calls, but if nothing ever changes in anybody's life, then we're wasting our time. See, if you want a move of God in your life, three things: repent, pray, obey. Repeat. Repent, pray, obey. See, I wish that was just a one-time process, right? I just need to repent this one time. Sometimes we need to repent every day, don't we? Until we get this thing right. Just keep going back, keep going back. See, God is always at work. Are you going to join Him? God is always at work. Are you going to join Him? God is always at work. Are you going to join Him? I wasn't looking for an amen. I'm looking for a, oh. Oh. Yeah. Because God's always at work. God's doing something. You're either going to join Him or you're going to be left behind. I want to be a part of the move of God. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to be a part of lives being changed. Not for my glory, but I want to just see God's glory. I want to see God do some amazing things. Am I going to jump on board when God's movement comes by? Or am I going to sit back and like, oh, that was kind of cool. See, I think as the church, so many times we just sit back and watch. Man, they're doing a great job. Man, that's awesome. Why not join the move of God and allow God to change you? See, it's not a spectacle. Sit back and watch. But get off. Sometimes Christianity, we're comfortable where we're at. No, I'm just going on. Let me talk. And a lot of times, I'm comfortable. I'm not a big sin. There's nothing going on in my life now. Well, God, be comfortable. I'm involved, part of it. See, one of my part of Act 2 moment. there's a move going on, preach on, and 3,000 people get baptized. That is one of my goals. I wonder, God, I want to be part of two where people get baptized one day. I'm just going to pray people back row. I just want to be a part of it. Do you have any goals like that? Just have a Christian. Man, let's get involved with them. Seek vibe in our life. Allow the move of God to begin. Start heart. Because we have a call, have a purpose. We're not meant to retire and sit and do nothing. We're called, the older we get, the more involved we should be. The more on fire for God we should be. We should go out in a ball of flame. Whoa! Man, let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you that, God, you're active. God, you are alive. You are doing something. God, you want to bring change. God, bring revival to my heart. Bring revival to my life. God, let me be an example so that other people can see and join in. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be doing my thing. I want to be doing your thing. I want to be about your business. God, make that the cry of our hearts today. In this church, in this place, each and every one of us, God, bring revival to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Can we all stand? Let's worship. Let's take this few minutes and let's seek after God. Let's forget about everything else and let's put our hearts on the line for Him today. Prayer team, come forward. If you need prayer, they'll be up here.